Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
I'm going to pray and we're going to get into today. Father God, Lord of heaven and earth, today we just ask you to speak. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to our spirits, speak to our souls, speak through me. Speak in a mighty way today in the name of Jesus, amen. I'm finding myself quite often asking God just to speak. And it's a good prayer and one that I have just been praying. Who was here last week? Who wasn't here last week? Ah, a few years. Okay, a few years went here. Well, we kind of inadvertently started a little series called Move. And this series is really, the idea is to get us moving for God. And we started by looking at a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, where four lepers make a choice. They're shunned by their community, they're segregated from their people, they're sitting outside the city and they're not allowed inside the city. And instead of sitting there going, why me, why this isn't fair, what's going on? Instead of doing that, they make a decision to say, we're not staying here, we're going to move. We're not staying here. And they decided and they thought about it and they said, if we stay here because of the famine, they were going to die. If they went back into the city and back to where they were going to die. So they made a choice to go to the enemy's camp. And on a maybe, say maybe. Oh, you could do better than that. Let's pretend you've had three espresso coffees. You're excited to be at church. Say maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe if they go to the enemy's camp, if they go to the enemy's camp, then they would spare them. And as they moved, God made a sound and caused the enemy army to kind of retreat, to take off running. And these four lepers, these leprous men, arrive at the camp. And there was food and there was drink and there was gold and everything they needed for their breakthrough was there. But remember we said that the breakthrough itself, the blessings themselves, was already there. It was God actually repositioning them from where they were to where the blessing was. Does that make sense? That like God was repositioning them, moving them from one space to another. And it's an incredible story. You can catch up on the podcast and on YouTube and it's in a number of places wherever you consume all that. But today I want to talk about how to make a move. Part one. It's part one. I started writing yesterday. It got way too long. And so I went, you know what? We'll part one it and then we'll part two it. So hopefully there's a part two next week. But part one is, you know, how to make a move. Because we talked about the fact that we need to move. We need to get up and move. I'm not staying here. If we make that choice, but how do we do that is the question, isn't it? How do we move? Like we know we have to move. And I thought about it like this. Can I have a volunteer? Jason, you're a good man. Come on up. I'm going to take this end here. Just put that on your wrist there. On your wrist, yep. Right? I did unravel all this so that this didn't happen, but anyway, right. So I thought about it like this because this is kind of, let me get this one and tie this up like this and do this. Right. I'm going to do that, put that at my end. Now, Jason, make a move. You can make a move. Right. Now, how did you know where to move? Did you know where to move? And this is the problem. This is the thing that we kind of see. Thanks, Jason. You can take that off and sit down. Right. Here's the thing, right? When we're tethered to God, right? Let's pretend I was God in this picture and Jason was Jason. I don't know who else he would be, but he's Jason. And we know we've got to make a move for God. But we don't know where to make, like he could have walked that way, that way, that way, that way. Like where, how do we know which way to go? Right, I kind of thought about this. And if we're tethered, there's only a certain distance out we can get before God will pull us back in, obviously. But how do we know which way to go? And that's what I want to tackle today. And I want to do that by going to a story in Joshua chapter 3. Actually, we're going to be bouncing between chapter 1 and chapter 3. And it's where Joshua leads the Israelite people into the promised land. So in other words, these guys know they're making a move, right? So we know we've got to make the move, right? We just don't know how and how it's going to happen and how do we do that. So we're going to look at this story, Joshua in chapter 3. We're going to camp there for most of it. We're only going to look at a little bit. But let me give you the background to some of how they got to this place. You see, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2, it says this, and the words are coming up on the screen just in case you can't flick with me quick enough in the Bibles. It says after this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land which I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I've always read that as God being really blunt. Moses, my servant, is dead. New subject. Kind of like God is quite with that, isn't he? But actually, he's given them time actually to mourn. He's given them time to mourn Moses, and the people of God had done that. In fact, in this day and age, 40 days was generally the mourning time, and so you would mourn, and then you would get on with it. And God is saying, okay, now is the time to get up. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to cross into the promised land. They've spent 40 years walking in the desert, wandering around, a journey that should have taken them only 3 or 4 or 5 days. It actually took them 40 years, right? And he's now saying it's time to go. It's time to move. It's time to get up. It's time for action. It's time to start moving. It's time. And it's time to cross over to the promised land. Time to get into the place. And so Joshua does a couple of things. He sends some spies out. But in chapter 3, this is where we start to read the story. And we're just going to look at the first part of this story in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan where they camped before crossing over. This is such a cool verse. Like most of us would just read that and go, oh yeah, cool, they're in position. They moved to position. But this is such a cool, check this out, right? See, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 11, right, God says to the people of Israel, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will. Say you will.
You will.
Say you will.
You will.
Say it one more time.
You will.
Because I want you to understand this is a you will. You will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God will give you. So now we know there's a time frame, right? Now we know there's a time frame. The people of God were given a time frame. 3 days from now, you will. You will. If God says it, it will happen. If God says it, it will happen. Some of us, we need to remember the fact that if God said it, it will happen. When God said, let there be light, there was. And when God said, let there be trees, there was. So if God says you can be healed from this, you will be. If God says your financials will be taken care of because I'm a provider God, what does that mean to you? He will do it. We need to actually remember that in this case, when God says something, he will do it. And 3 days, God had said to them, in 3 days' time, you will cross over. What we don't see happening here is that they just go, oh, well, that's not going to happen. Or 3 days from time, I don't want to wait that long. No, they got up and moved to the banks of the Jordan River. Did they not? They got up. They left camp, right? So back to, where is it? Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, so straight away, they got up and the Israelites and they set out for Shittim and went to the Jordan and they camped before crossing. So in other words, they got themselves ready for what God was going to do. Sometimes if we want God to move and we need to make a move and we know what God is going to do and how, we just got to get ready for the move. Does that make sense? Prepare ourselves for it. We've got to get ready because we know that he will do it. And if he will do it, then we should get ourselves ready for it. So these guys are getting themselves ready for it. And this might be our da for us, but point number one, if we need to know how to make a move for God, point number one is this, right? We need to trust the promises that God gives us. and know that they will happen. I think a lot of us, we know what the Bible says and we hear God's promises, but then we look at the situation around us and go, oh, I'm not sure how that's going to happen. These guys didn't go get to the Jordan River and go, oh, how are we going to cross this river? Like they didn't, we don't read that they get there and go, oh, there's that big, that's big, that river. They didn't do that. We don't read that. They didn't think, let's just turn around. There's no point because we can't get over it. We can't get under it. Can't get around it. So we might as well just go home. But a lot of us face our issues and our problems and the obstacles in front of us and go, and we just turn around and walk. We need to trust God's promises, do we not? Trust God's promises. If God said it, it will happen. And we need to expect that it will happen. That guy's got themselves ready. We can anchor onto the fact that if God said it, he will do it. How do we make a move? We've got to understand, firstly and foremostly, that if he said it, it will happen. So let's get ready for it. Let's prepare ourselves for it. Let's do what we need to do to enter into the promised land that we know that in the case we're heading, right? Let's make that move. God said it, it will happen. Verse 1, that was. Let's go to verse 2. Verse 2. After 3 days of chapter 3, this is. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp. Verse 3, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Turn to someone and say, look for it. Come on, do it with a bit of attitude this time. Look for it. Look for it. When you see, it says, when you see what? Not a trick question, it's in the scripture. When you see the ark. When you see the ark, right? When you see the ark, that will be your sign to move and to follow it, right? So, I did some research for you just so you could, we can get this really cleared up for you, right? On the Ark of the Covenant, I did some research. It was made out of cedar wood, right? Cedar in the Bible quite often depicts the people of God. Stands strong like a cedar tree. But I don't think this is what we're looking for in this particular case. The cedar wood of the Ark of the Covenant was then overlaid with gold, pressed gold. It was all over it, right? We could talk about how that is pressed gold is like being covered. And we could say we've been covered with the blood of the Lamb and we're covered with the Holy Spirit and stuff, but I still don't think this is the image that we're supposed to be looking for. We know the Ark of the Covenant was 2.5 cubits long by a cubit and a half wide, a cubit and a half deep, or however that, you know. I have no idea what the numbers mean. Like, I'm sure it means something. And God would have measured it, and I know he measures everything in the palm of his hands and everything, but I don't think this is what we're looking for. Hang on, I think I've got it. This is what it is, I think. Remember the lid of the Ark of the Covenant? The lid. It's known as the mercy seat, and it had two cherubim angels on top. Actually, according to Exodus 25:22, it says this, they're above the cover between the two cherubims. They're over the ark of the covenant law. I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. In other words, God's presence was seated above the ark. What I'm trying to say is when we're looking for something, we're looking for what God is doing already, his presence. Does that make sense? The people of God would know it. They're looking for God's presence. As God's presence went past, it is time to make a move and to follow. We're looking for God's presence. Does that make sense? We need to follow God's presence. It's like he played tag and he tags us and says, right, come and get me now. And we have to chase after him. And we never catch him because he's God and we're not. Because if we did catch him, then we would think we're God and we're not God. So he kind of tags and says, follow me, and we're off. When we see the presence of God moving, I'm telling you, church, if we want to know how to move for God, we just got to look for where God is already working and do that. Does that make sense? If God is working over here, then let's follow that. If God is working over here, let's follow that. We need to follow what God is doing already. And follow that. Follow that. When you see God's presence, when you're looking for it, and we see it, then we start to work in that space. We move there. Look for it. Say, look for it. Verse 4. Then you will know which way to go. How, what? Well, okay. So far we've got trust God's promises, look for him and follow it. It doesn't actually specifically say what to do. Isn't that when we go to God and we go, God, what move do you want me to make? This doesn't actually explain that, does it? But somehow we're supposed to know which way to go. Then you will know which way to go. I was talking to Zoe last night, or yesterday afternoon, going, that's what the scripture says. That's what we're supposed to do. She goes, but I want to know specifically what I'm supposed to do. Like, it's easy to make a choice when it's a bad choice or a good choice, or it's an evil choice and a biblical choice. It's easy to know which choice to make, right? But what happens when it's a biblical choice and a biblical choice? Which one do you choose? Which one? Which one? And so Zoe and I were sitting there last night, well, how do we know which way to go? And then I kind of was reminded of that verse, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. A lot of people are comforted by this verse. I am hugely challenged by this verse. This verse is one of the most challenging verses in the scriptures. Who's got the plans? God. And he doesn't always share them with us, does he? So when we ask which way are we to go, we see the presence of God, we you know, chase after that. But I want to know where you're leading me, God. Like that's the thing, right? God knows the plans and he doesn't always share them with us. And then I thought, then thinking about this idea of how do we move? How do we make a move for God? And I kind of got to a place of thinking it is less about the destination that we get to and more about the synchronization we have with God. Oh man, that's good. That's good. It's less about the destination. That's not even in my notes, right? It's less about the destination. It's more about being in sync, the synchronization we have with God. When our hearts are synced up with God, when our lives are synced up with God, when everything about us is synced up with God, then it makes life a lot easier. Jason, can you come back up for me? Let me see if I can explain it like this. Right? This was the first one. We could have gone everywhere. All right. Let's put that one on there. Now we synced, right? Because if I move this, oh, well, if I move this one, oh, hold on to that, will you? Don't break my analogy. Hold on tight, right? You got it? Yeah. You wrap it around your hand if you have to. Right, good. If I walk this way, he's coming. And if I walk this way, he's coming. In fact, wherever I go, if I want him to lift his hand up or down, I could do that. And so all of a sudden, it's about being synchronized with God. When our heartbeats are synchronized with his, when our lives are synchronized with God, it's less about the destination, because whatever God wants us to do, can you hold on to it? Gee, hard to find good help. No, it's fine. It's whatever God wants us to do will happen based on what he wants us and where he wants us to go. So all of a sudden, instead of being so far away, when we actually spend our lives and make the move, thanks, Jason, you can sit down. When we make the move, right, make the move to come closer to God, if that's our move, to come closer to God and to synchronize our lives with God, if that's the move, then the destination doesn't matter. Amen? Because he will take us on the journey to wherever he wants anyway. Make sense? When our hearts are synchronized, it doesn't matter then where we're going. what he wants us to do. He will take us there anyway, right? And we could trust in him because his promises are true. His promises are true. We can look for where God is working, and that can give us an idea of what God wants us to do. And quite often, God highlights stuff to us that he might not highlight to anyone else. Oh, the kids need people to work out with them. Maybe God's telling you that that's what he wants you to do. Quite often we make up an excuse. They go, no, I'm not working with them. Or those smelly youth, I tell you. Whoa. But we should have a good youth program, but I'm not working with those smelly youth, I tell you. But if we're close and synchronized, God will just move us where we need to be to start with. Does that make sense? This was the only way I could kind of explain this and to make this work. I'm going to get the singers to come back up. But I want to give you a quote from William Booth. He's the founder, co-founder of the Salvation Army. Him and his wife, Catherine, co-founded the Salvation Army, this worldwide movement of the church. And I notice I use the word movement because we're meant to move. Move with the times, move with God, move to wherever he wants us to be. It's a movement. But William Booth said this, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am the move of God. I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am the move of God. Do you know what? He was so bold. He was that bold that he said, I'm so close to Jesus. I'm synchronized with him that whenever he moves, I move. And so if I speak, he's speaking. And all of this is happening. And so he's going, I am the move of God. Isn't that a good prayer to have? I'm not waiting for it. I am. Because I'm that close. I'm synchronized in. I'm together in. And I just love that. So we're going to sing these words of this song, Christ is Enough. And in the song it says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Now the scripture, if we read the rest of this story, a bit more of this story, it will say, stay a certain distance from the ark. And that really highlights, and I hope you go and read this passage later on, highlights that we can't actually make it to God. Because every time we take a step towards God, he takes a step. And we step and he takes a step. And so on and so on. We can never catch him. But we could certainly get close to know. And as we move and he moves, we're like this. In sync with each other. How to make a move for God? Really, step one, sync your life with his. Make sense? Part two is next week. Come back. Let's sing Christ is Enough. I have decided to follow Jesus is in the refrain. And it is my prayer that we actually decide to follow Jesus closely.